Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines is Friday, November 25th. Pope Francis writes a letter to the Ukrainian people expressing his pain and closeness. A Chinese cardinal is fined by a court in Hong Kong, and the economy is at the heart of talks between Venezuelan leaders and the opposition party. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. 9 months from the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Pope Francis has written a letter in which he expresses his sorrow and closeness to the noble and martyred Ukrainian people. Linda Bordoni reports.
With the love of a father grieving with his children, with the pain of the pastor who sees a people wounded by destruction, suffering, hunger, thirst and cold, Pope Francis has addressed a letter to the people of Ukraine, exactly 9 months from the unleashing of the absurd madness of war. It comes in the wake of over 100 appeals for the martyred nation and has words for all, for the women, victims of violence or war widows, for the young men sent to the front, for the elderly who have been left alone, for those who have become refugees or displaced persons, for the volunteers and the priests, for the country's authorities. Listing the horrors that have become the Ukrainian people's daily bread and butter, the Pope paints a starkly realistic picture. In your skies, he says, the sinister roar of explosions and the ominous sound of sirens rumble ceaselessly. Your cities are hammered by bombs as showers of missiles cause death, destruction and pain, hunger, thirst and cold. Many have had to flee your streets, leaving homes and loved ones behind. Alongside your great rivers flow rivers of blood and tears every day. Expressing his closeness, he says, he joins his own tears to the tears of the Ukrainian people. There is no day, he writes, when I am not close to you and do not carry you in my heart and in my prayers. Your pain, he says, is my pain. And recalling the many images of horror, like dead children and mass graves, he asks, how can men treat other men this way? Finally, he raises a prayer for the authorities, upon whom, he says, rests the duty to govern the country in tragic times and to make far-sighted decisions for peace and to develop the economy during the destruction of so much vital infrastructure. Concluding his letter, the Pope looks ahead to the coming months, in which the rigidity of the climate, he notes, makes what you are experiencing even more tragic. In a few weeks' time, he adds, it will be Christmas and the clamour of pain will be felt even more. But I would like to return with you to Bethlehem, Pope Francis writes, to the trial that the Holy Family had to face on that night, which seemed only cold and dark. Instead, light came, not from men, but from God, not from earth, but from heaven. I'm Linda Bordoni.
The annual Festival of the Social Doctrine of the Church is underway in Verona in northern Italy. Pope Francis addressed attendees at the opening of the event, stressing the importance of trust and encounter. Joseph Tulloch has the story.
Pope Francis addressed attendees of the annual Festival of the Social Doctrine of the Church in Verona, which is being held on the 24th to the 27th of November. In his speech, the Pope discussed the grim situation of the world today and urged that the way forward is trust and encounter. The Pope began his address by noting that building trust, the beauty of encounter, which is the theme of this year's festival, is today more relevant than ever before. We live in a season of great conflicts that seem to negate the attitude of trusting in others, he said, before continuing. Think of the many ongoing conflicts throughout the world. We are already in the midst of a Third World War, and the resulting poverty, suffering, innocent victims, the future denied to children, a grim scenario which calls for decisive intervention and restorative work. Another key theme of Pope Francis's address was the connection between trust and encounter. Whether we are giving or receiving trust, he pointed out, we always need somebody else. Thus, he said, trust cannot exist without the other. Only if we are willing to get to know them, to discuss with them, to see in them the face of Christ, to share their joys and sufferings, can we trust them. Encounter, thus, is the basis of trust. Pope Francis also had warm words for the organizers of the festival. This is an event, he said, that has now become a landmark for those who believe that the common good is not a mere possibility, but the cement on which to build a just, true, and beautiful society. He thus ended his address by encouraging attendees to put into practice the ideas they will be discussing over the coming days. Entrepreneurs, he said, professionals, representatives of the institutional, cooperative, economic, and cultural worlds, gathered here in Verona, I ask you to promote and nurture, each in your own spheres, a culture of encounter and trust. I'm Joseph Tullock.
90-year-old Cardinal Joseph Zen, the Bishop Emeritus of Hong Kong, and five others were fined after being found guilty of failing to register the now-dissolved 612 Humanitarian Relief Fund to help pro-democracy activists. The fund was established to help participants of the 2019 demonstrations in Hong Kong. Cardinal Zen was first arrested in May on charges of colluding with foreign forces, a crime for which investigations continue. Sophie Peters reports.
Cardinal Joseph Zen, the Bishop Emeritus of Hong Kong, was fined for his role in a fund established to help participants of the 2019 pro-democracy demonstrations in the former British colony. The 90-year-old cardinal was found guilty, along with five other administrators, for failing to register the 612 Humanitarian Relief Fund, founded to help those arrested pay legal and medical fees. Cardinal Zen and the five other defendants pleaded not guilty, but have not testified or called witnesses. Further investigation into charges of collusion with foreign forces still looms, with penalties such as life imprisonment under the national security law passed in June 2020 after the protests 4 years ago. In September 2021, Cardinal Zen came under investigation after Hong Kong media outlets accused him of inciting students to rebel in 2019. The cardinal had then been arrested on the 10th of May, 2022, by police constituted to watch over China's national security. The official charge was collusion with foreign forces in connection with his role as administrator of the 612 Humanitarian Relief Fund. The group, including Cardinal Zen, were all released a few hours later on bail from the Wan Chai police station after being questioned. On the 11th of May this year, Matteo Bruni, director of the Vatican Press Office, said that the Holy See has learned with concern the news of Cardinal Zen's arrest and is following the development of the situation with extreme attention. The first hearing took place the 19th of September and concluded on the 23rd. The cardinal, who is usually very active on social media, remained silent throughout the trial, only asking his followers to pray for him. In the past, Cardinal Zen has also criticized the Chinese Communist Party for allegedly persecuting religious communities. I'm Sophie Peters.
Turning now to world news, but staying in China, frustration simmered on Friday among residents and business groups in China navigating stricter COVID-19 control curbs, as the country reported another record high of daily infections just weeks after hopes had been raised of easing measures. The resurgence of COVID cases in China, with over 32,000 new local infections recorded for Thursday, as numerous cities report outbreaks, has prompted widespread lockdowns and other curbs on movement and business, as well as pushback. Meanwhile, in Indonesia, hundreds of people prayed out in the open next to rice paddies and in the streets on Friday, as the death toll rose from an earthquake that flattened their town in western Java, and it rose to 310. Muslim cleric Muhammad Jamur led a congregation in prayer in an outdoor volleyball court just 200 metres from a mosque whose walls were left cracked and windows shattered by the shallow 5.6 magnitude quake that hit the town of Cianjur, about 75 kilometres south of the capital Jakarta, earlier this week. Turning now to Venezuela, representatives of the Venezuelan government and the official opposition are resuming talks in Mexico this weekend to try and reverse and resolve its economic meltdown. James Blears reports.
The talks in Mexico City will start on Saturday, and diplomats from Norway will oversee and mediate them. Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador says he's proud Mexico's been chosen, and it'll take a back seat, facilitating conditions fostering an efficient working environment. Discussions ground to a halt last year following the extradition of businessman and Venezuelan government ally Alex Saab to the United States on money laundering charges from Cape Verde in West Africa. Now, with tensions easing, the agenda will focus on a social program aimed at elevating Venezuela's dire economic crisis and try to set a time framework for a presidential election monitored by international observers. Chief government negotiator Jorge Rodriguez says the social agreement will help with needs brought about by blockages created by the international financial system. The U.S. has led a campaign of economic sanctions against the Venezuelan government, which have crippled its economy. More than 7 million Venezuelans have fled the country, unable to cope with its spiraling poverty. Following the re-election of President Nicolas Maduro, opposition leader Juan Guaido declared himself interim president and is supported by more than 50 nations. But this didn't dislodge Maduro, who retains the confidence of his political allies and the nation's armed forces. These latest talks are to provide a lifeline to save a country which is on the brink. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
In Malaysia, the newly appointed Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim said on Friday his primary focus would be on the cost of living as he takes office with a slowing economy and a country deeply split after a close election. Anwar, 75, was sworn in as Premier on Thursday, capping a three-decade political journey from a protégé of veteran leader Mahathir Mohamad to protest leader, a prisoner convicted of sodomy and opposition figurehead. And finally, Israel's far-right Jewish Power Party has signed a coalition agreement with Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party, as Nathan Morley reports.
For the last few weeks, the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has been holding talks to form a new coalition government. It comes after his Likud party's far-right allies won the parliamentary election back on November the 1st. Now the leader of Israel's far-right Jewish power, Itamar Ben-Gvir, is earmarked to be appointed the National Security Minister. An extremist parliament member, he's known for his anti-Arab remarks and his past conviction for racism. Nevertheless, with coalition talks still ongoing, the final makeup of Netanyahu's government is still not yet clear. Meanwhile, Israel's police have been boosting forces throughout Jerusalem after twin blasts shook the city earlier this week, killing an Israeli-Canadian teenager and injuring at least 18 others. No group has yet claimed responsibility for the attacks. The Israeli Prime Minister, Yair Lapid, has vowed that Israel will track down the perpetrators. After that attack, Ben-Gvir went to the scene of the crime and advocated for the death penalty for Palestinian attackers. Elsewhere, Israel has revoked 200 permits for Palestinians in Gaza to work in Israel after a worker was accused of planning to perpetrate a bombing attack. The Shin Bet Internal Security Agency said the suspect was identified as a 31-year-old resident of Rafah City in southern Gaza. This year has seen increased tension between Israelis and Palestinians, with gun and knife attacks targeting Israelis and Israeli military raids killing Palestinian gunmen. According to Palestinian figures, more than 200 Palestinians have been killed since early January, whilst 30 Israelis have been killed in a series of attacks carried out by Palestinians in Israel and the West Bank. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also find the latest updates on our Vatican News Facebook page and Twitter feed. Many thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.